to share your love and your light and your strength and your peace and your whatever it is, Lord, to those around us. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we're on this path of serving God deeper this year. And if the Lord, tarries, we'll continue to say we're going to serve him deeper in 27. We got to continue on a path of serving him deeper. We can never be satisfied with where we're at, because he's not satisfied where we're at, because he has great and mighty things for each and every one of us. And each one here has a special talent, a special call that he has for you. And it's going to require you to reach that, not on your own merits and not on your own strength, or your own talents, because he's given you the talent. He's given you the strength. He is continuing to reach out and to call and to claim you as his. And I want to reach out and call upon him to say, Lord, here am I. Continue to help me. We've started this back a few weeks back now regarding of launching out into the deep and casting that net, and what does God have in store for us. We are going to do some things that we maybe think we know what we're doing because we know who we are, like those fishermen were, but God had another plan. They might have had the knowledge and understanding of how to fish and when to fish, the best time to fish at night, but they didn't catch anything. And he comes along that shore that morning and says, let's go, Simon. And we know the story. Some miraculous things were done. And I think that is relevant for us today. Not that we're out fishing, but yet we're to be fishers of men. We're to share and sow the seed, the word. But also to do that, you've got to be dedicated to that. You've got to be surrendered that of your life to that of Christ. And you're still going to have a job. You're still going to do this. You're going to do that. But yet there's still that part of you that has to say that the kingdom of God is the important part of my life. Even though I'm here upon this sphere, this earth, and the material things and going through life and seeing so many things happening and not happening. But yet we are here and we are charged with a purpose. And we cannot discount that. And don't cry out to the Lord to call you home unless your task here is done. Because you're trying to get out of here without doing that. You're cheating yourself and you're cheating God. Do you think that? Because of the plan that God has for us. What he's invested in us. Yeah, we know Jesus Christ died for our sins. But he's invested himself in us for the image of God. We're the image of man and things of that nature. But the part of God in us that draws us to him, even the sinner out in the world that doesn't step a foot in the church, there's something that God already has in him that when the Spirit hits and calls that lost one home or to pay attention, there's something within that person outside the realm of the kingdom of God that stops and begins to hear and begins to wonder and begins to question. I think it happened maybe for us that are sitting here today in different ways and times. And so God has not given up on that. He's doing his thing and he will continue to do his thing. I want us to do our thing. And rather than that, I just want to look at Tim. I might be selfish. You figure it out yourself. But I want to look at Tim to say that I'm still wanting to do what he wants me to do. And that no matter how old, no matter what's going on, unless it's that of the God and his desire to do this or that, it's like, God, it is in your hands. And use us, continue to groom us to serve you, to strengthen us. We need strength. We look around and many of us are going through physical things and it's like, well, how can God use us if we're a servant of God? How does these things happen? Well, don't get into that, man. We live in a fallen world. Our body is a body that will eventually, it's decaying and dying. I think studies show, I don't know if it's how true, but back many years back when hearing and reading of some of these things, that it's like, when you're a young kid and teenager and you're getting 18, 19, 20, your body is building and growing and growing and building. And I don't know, somewhere in that early 20s area there or mid-20s or something like that, I read an article sometime back now. It might be wrong now. I don't know. But it said even at that time that after you hit, I'm going to throw an age out there, 23, your body starts going the other way. You know, you peak. You know, and many of us now, as we look at our ages, it's like, yeah, I think I've peaked from what I used to be able to. How many here had the Eustas? He used to get up without moaning. He used to run without falling. He used to stand up without, you know. I could bend down and tie my shoes and not go. You know, there's now my wife and myself, and, you know, we're looking at each other, and it's like, now be careful if you're bending down. Don't bend down too far there, honey. What do you want? I'll do it. I mean, we're just like, yeah. You know, the gyroscope in here somewhere is kind of like, but yeah, but you know, it doesn't matter. We are still here with breath in our lungs to serve God and to be used by Him. And, you know, we've shared, if it's nothing else, of even a person that, sad to say, could be bedridden, but if they're a prayer warrior, they're probably doing more than any of us, being a total prayer warrior, praying for loved ones, praying for society, praying for the world, praying for the nation, praying for the city, whatever the case is. They are a powerful element of God in this place. So I look at it, and if we have the ability to walk and talk and go, hopefully we can be somewhat of use for that of God too. Amen? So then we looked at, a few weeks back, and it kind of looked at hating your family. You got to give up your family. Your parents, your sons, your daughters, all of these things, and how that caused animosity amongst family members when, oh, going to church, now you got to say, well, this is more important for me to go, and it's like, oh, no, you've been brainwashed. You're one of them. No, I've been spirit-washed. Hearing from that of the Holy Spirit, and my God is important, and we talked about that and how they've taken that, and when you read different versions where it says hate, it basically was meaning you just need to set apart. You need to have priorities. You got to be able to set apart the things in your life to serve God in the measure that He wants you to serve Him. And we know that God is a jealous God. He will not share you. You can't serve the things of this world and the things of the kingdom. It's all in for the kingdom, or it's all that of the world. His scriptures tell us, choose this day who you will serve. And then when we take that stand and say, God, I choose this day to serve you, you've got to realize it's not just with part of me. Our Lord, I will serve you today when the opportunity of my time, if I've got the time to do it. But I got things I want to do, and I've got a little bit of time, I'll give it to you, God. Many people serve God that way, even those in our churches. Wonderful men and women of God. But they haven't clicked over to understand by reading what God's Word says, you got to be set apart. You can't desire the things of this world and strive for them and still retain or gain the things of the kingdom. Yes, you're going to have a job. Yes, you got to make money. Yes, you're going to have a family. If you put all of these things in the order that God wants you to, it will all work out. Don't you believe it? So we visited upon that a little bit last week and before that. And then I was thinking about, well, where do we go now, Lord? It seems like our last several messages are looking at God to say we got to take a serious stand with God. I have got many more ways to go with God. But it was only back when I finally had enough of playing around with God that I decided to go headstrong into it. And it will cost you things. Not everybody will have to trade occupations. Not everybody is going to turn in and say, I'm leaving the secular job and I'm serving my God. God works in all facets of things. The thing to get a point across is, when God is asking and speaking to you, is that you need to hear that still small voice. You need to gain better and clarity of understanding with God through His scriptures as He's leading you into something different, and being willing to say, Lord, we step out and here we go. It's like casting that boat out into the deep. It's like, cast your net, Tim, on the other side. It's like all of these things that he speaks to me about, and I'm sure he speaks to you about. It's not just me, right? You folks are being used by God. And God has a purpose for you. What we want to make sure is that we want to achieve that purpose. And we want to please God. And then when we get to that point to where if we are in and out, in and out, in and out, and things are kind of going rough, you might be bringing that on yourself. Because I think God's word says he's not going to share you with anything else. And when you begin to think you can play patty cake with God one day and do something in the world the next and then back to God and back to the world, God will give you that opportunity to do all you want into the world and allow the world to eventually take your eyes off of the prize. And so that's what brings me now to this. I brought it up maybe last week in just passing. But go to Luke 9. Luke 9. So here it is. But Jesus in Luke 9:62, and I said, this look forward to accomplish the task that God is giving you. We need to look forward to this. What does God have planned? I wanna be in the plan of God. Anyway, Luke 9:62, very familiar, but Jesus says to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know. You know, is it just me? This is the cost of discipleship. But what more do you need to hear from God? How can you misinterpret that to say, well, what's that mean? Oh, well, what? But it's going on, and now we're looking at the cost of discipleship. In verse 57, it starts, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says to them, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And then another says, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But that's when Jesus responds, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, we have a lot of buts. When God is saying, I want you to do this, I'll do that, Lord, but let me. I was right there. Just to touch real quick, remember when I said, Lord, I'll let me do so many more years with Walmart, and then I will come and serve you. That could have been the same with me saying, well, I'll serve you, Lord, but let me finish just another half a dozen years with Walmart, and I could retire at whatever and in their system of things and whatnot, and have lifetime 10% discount. But we each have to answer that. Everyone here has a but of, well, Lord, I'll do that, but give me time to do this, but let me get my house in order, but let me go bury my father. And some of that was that person's dad maybe not even died. I mean, let me go until things kind of clear out in my family, and then I will come and serve you. God sees through that. And when God makes a call out, or actually, he did have a call, but notice this. Follow me in verse 59, but he says, Lord, let me first go. Let the dead and all that. Another says, Lord, I will follow you, but let me. When you start a conversation with God and you're surrendering totality to him to say, I'm going to go serve you, God, you better know what you're saying. Why not just start out by saying, Lord, once these things happen and I get this accomplished, then I'll come and serve you. Well, he's going to tell you the same thing. You need to know, if you're to serve me and if I'm calling you now, you need to drop what you're doing and come. In the New Century Version, Jesus says, anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use into the kingdom of God. God. Oh my goodness. So Jesus, anyone who begins to plow, but keep, if you're looking back at your past, if you're looking back at what you want to accomplish and things that you want to get, you will never, the enemy will always have something left for you to clean up or to get ready before you go serve God. You'll have it all wrapped up and ready to go, and then all of a sudden something will happen on the horizon. Oh, wait, God, I thought I had it done, but I got one more thing to take care of. The enemy is good at having one more thing to do. But we always have one more thing to do, one more thing to accomplish, one more thing to tidy up, one more, I got to get my, that's like what people say, I can't come to Jesus yet because I got so much sin in my life, let me clean up my sin first, and then I'll receive Jesus as my Lord. You ain't never going to do it. Jesus is here to clean your sin. Go to Him and start that way. But we have reasons and we always have this, one more thing, and I want to do this, and oh, if I want to serve God, I want to, oh, you've got to sometimes go, get in the boat and go into the deep. Some place that you've not been, or some place maybe you've been, and they went right back out into the lake and all where they're at, but they went a little bit further out maybe. So anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God. You got to be all in for that of God. Amplified says, but Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, and that looking back is to the things left behind, is fit for the kingdom of God. This is not a footnote I had in my Bible. It's not speaking and teaching on that of like backsliding or losing one's salvation. It's not that at all. Jesus focuses on the truth that service for his kingdom demands undivided attention. Is nor fit for the kingdom of God means that half-hearted discipleship eliminates one from God's maximum use. You'll still get some things of God, but the maximum use that God has for you. You know, that's like, would you rather have, whatever, $100, or would you rather have $5? You know, you put any kind of numbers, monetary numbers and things out there, you know. But when I began to service of that of God, it's like, Lord, I want everything that you have for me. I want to achieve that and receive that. And to do that, it requires a sacrifice. Bring up a good word, obedience. And it talks about that in the Bible too, isn't it? Obedience is better than sacrifice. See, we want to, I'll sacrifice this to get that. But God is wanting your obedience. Because once you're obedient, it's like no matter what the call goes forth, if you're obedient and you respond, I think God knows that there's an obedient child of mine. I say this, and they do that. And I ask that, and they follow that. Whatever the case might be. So as we begin to do these things, we think sometimes, well, I'm sacrificing for the Lord. I'm sacrificing, but He wants the obedience more than anything else. We might find this as the thought process of what Paul had said in 1 Corinthians 3:12-15, where it says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which is he built, I'm sorry, in verse 14, if anyone's work which he built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. As we serve God, I'm not serving Him because I want to get, or that I want the magnificent of what God has, although He's got the magnificent. And God can give you abundance, and God can give you such blessings. But just like in giving, I don't give my tithe just so I get. I give my tithe because it's what God's word says. I don't sow an offering because I want to get 30, 60, or 100 fold. I sow because an offering is because it's part of God's word. It's the dynamics of how God works. And it's the point of being able to know that, you know, it's hard. I'm going to tell you, as we all know, to get a dollar out of somebody's hand sometimes, it's hard. My goodness. And, you know, the church has come across in such a way that in some instances it came on them because they developed that of these, you know, the naming and claiming and prosperity gospels and things like that. And, you know, standing before the people and say, you know, give and you too will have a Cadillac. Give and you too will have a jet. You give and you will have a mansion. Well, I've already got a mansion just over the hillside. But they take these things, and I just read it to what God has to say to do, and it's the obedience of it. If we are obedient in giving, if we're obedient in following, if we're obedient in going where he's asked you to go, if we're obedient and he says, when you're in that store and you're shopping and somebody there catches your attention and God's word says, go ask if there's something that you can pray with them about. And you go and ask. That's obedience. To hear God's voice, to go. But there is a time when you would be in a restaurant and you would be impressed upon picking up a bill for somebody. I don't know why. You know, you're eating whatever you're eating, and sometimes you're looking across the restaurant, and that person catches you for some reason. You're just not that they're looking at you, but you look over at them, and you look at again. And that's a God thing that's beginning to speak to you. And then all of a sudden, as you're looking at that person and they're eating and all, and they may not be disheveled. They may be well-dressed and all. It's not like, ooh, they're poor. I'm going to help them out, you know. It's just one of those things that then God might then impress upon you. Pick up their tab. And don't even tell them. Just get the waitress. And I've done that. When my waitress has served me, I said, could you give me the ticket for that table over there? Is that yours or somebody else? No, but could you give me the ticket? And I'll take care of it. And just tell them God loves them or something like that. But that's that obedience and that's that sensitivity of hearing God to do and to go and to be obedient and to hear him. When you start flowing in that, it is something that is so miraculous. But as we get into this plowing thing, it's an important aspect. Because as it's said here in this one, it's like you put that hand to that plow. And if you begin to look at the things in the past, if you begin to look back to the thing, whatever your back is, whatever you look back to see. Now, I believe some of this ties in too. This is just me. Leaving the family and the family and the kids and all this, but you're not leaving them. You're just setting them apart. You've got to take these things into the areas of what God. God is not saying he wants you to hate. God says he's of love. But God says, I'm a jealous God. But you'll have your family. You can serve and you can do and you can do and do. You just have to be able to know where that line is at. And if something is there to where you're beginning to do something, then all of a sudden something happens, you can't do it. You better kind of explore why can't you do it and what happened. Did the enemy do that? Oh, but let me take care of this first. Because I'm going to tell you, you'll never run out of the buts. Sometimes you just got to say, Lord, here I am. I'm launching out with you. I got to take care of this, but you put it in God's hands. God, you know my family. You know this uncle, whatever the case is. Take care of it. So when we look at this, Jesus is wanting things from us, but he's wanting us. Us. He's wanting you personally. Completing a dedication to him, a complete, I'm yours. I am yours, Lord, because I was bought with a price. I am no longer my own. For Jesus died for my salvation. When we take that stand and we confess him as our Lord and Savior, being the Lord over you, it means like he has all of you, if we would understand that. It takes time. It takes development. It doesn't happen overnight that this happens. It's a walk in the process with God growing in you the direction that he has for you, and to realize that God loves you. He loves your family. He loves all these things. He wants you to have what you have, but just don't put it above him. What we're finding here is we can't pick and choose among Jesus' ideas and to follow them selectively. You know, I would rather do this, but not that. Well, you know, chances are he's going to ask you to do that now. Remember our dear brother, and many times you hear this out there where they say these things. It's like, never say never, or never say never, right? It's like, Lord, I'll come and serve you, but I do not want to be a teacher. Well, look at Brother John. That's one of the things he said. And what is John? A wonderful teacher of the word. He digs into them. He mines out that stuff. But we cannot be selective. And many times we get into that and we selective. It's like we have an a la carte menu with that of God. It's like, do you want it all? No, I'll have this and that and this and that and that. Now, do you know that when you go a la carte, it costs more money? I was going to bring that up, Denny, but now that you said yep. We have a wonderful guys group that Tuesdays we meet for breakfast. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't order just what they say and get that $9 price or $8.50 morning special price, and you go, well, I want some of this, but also throw in that and throw in this and throw in that. What started out as a $9.50 bill plus coffee, so you know we can get out at $12.50. Some of our brothers come out going, hey, let me see your bill. How are you getting out of $12.50? I've got $22. I go, my friend, you ordered a la carte. And the waitress is not going to say, you know, your bill is going up. You ask them what they got, and they'll tell you, I'll put a lobster on there if you want. You want two eggs, over easy, and a lobster. We got it. Why is my bill $50? I stay. This old boy. I don't know what I am. Cheap. No. Frugal. Smart. I read the fine print. I mean, one time, Denny, he ordered like, I don't know, was it three strips or four strips of turkey bacon? And it was just like four strips of bacon, $8. He goes, $8 for a turkey bacon? I said, Denny, a la carte. But that the day, we were looking out the window, and it's like, and Denny points out to the waiter, but there's two turkeys right across the parking lot. you can go get them. I'm sure it'll be a lot cheaper. I mean, we've got turkeys around town. I'm paying $2 a strip for a little thing of bacon. That turkey was this big. That thing must have been worth $150. I don't know. Yeah. But as I think of that, and we want to pick and choose with God, we get into an a la carte menu with God. And not realizing, as you begin to do that, it's going to cost you more. If you would just buy off of the side of the menu where God is at, then saying, here it is, this is what I want from God, and this is what God wants from me, you will come out a whole lot further ahead than picking and choosing over here. It could cost you even more time than what it should, cost you more in finances. It could be to the point of just not receiving the totality of God's abundant blessings that you would get. Remember, it's not losing your salvation. It's not doing any of these things that you're backsliding and all of that. But I'm going to tell you, God is a God that wants to give you everything that he has for you, but it's on this side of his menu. And on this side of the menu is, you serve me with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with everything of you, you're on my side. But once you say, I got to but this, or but I'm looking back and I'm taking my hand off of the plow, you're going off to the other side of that, to where you're shortchanging yourself. Because God will get it done, whether it's through you or somebody else. It doesn't bother God, because there's others out there that will say, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord. So please stay on the proper side of what God is asking of you, and it's everything of you. We become selective in what we choose. We need to accept the cross along with the crown, along with judgment, as well as mercy. We must count the cost and be willing to abandon everything else that has given us security, world man's security, to get the heavenly security, not of salvation. I'm just the heaven security of helping you get through this life and the things that this life is going to require of you. With our focus on Jesus, we should allow nothing to distract us from the manner of living on what he has called us to do. Now that's very simple, but it's very hard. It's very simple to say these things. It's very simple to say, follow him with everything, right? Oh, it sounds good. And maybe on a Sunday morning, we all hear that and we're all pumped up for it. We just had wonderful song service. We're just, the music builds us up and we're ready to take on and we're ready to go. And then Monday comes and we go, oh. Well, I'll catch you tomorrow, God. I got this I got to do now. It's to be able to keep that within you, because he is with us wherever we're at. I remember, Heather, you brought that up. Remember, I said, oh, you know, let us know when the Spirit comes. And you said, the Spirit's already here, you know, in Sunday school. You know, the Spirit of God is here. He is here. We just need to allow that Spirit to have us, to tap into us, to be able to draw off what it has. And he wants that for you so much. So, putting your hand to the plow and don't look back means to be fully committed to a task or a new path, especially speaking to that of a spiritual one. Remember, our battle is in the spiritual realm. We've been dealing with that on Thursdays, and John's been gracious and sharing. You know, we see the natural, but it's all spiritual battles. And I think I'm talking to the choir here that you already realize that. It's in the spiritual realm that these things are taking place. Without wavering or dwelling on the past, because looking back will generally hinder your progress, just as a farmer plowing a straight furrow must focus ahead. Those furrows up there look pretty straight to me. Is that picture still there? Pretty straight. Pretty straight. Now, whether you're with a horse and a draw plow, or maybe now instead of saying keep your hand on the plow and don't look back, it would be like keep your hand on the steering wheel, but don't look back. Look forward. Look ahead. Because we know the adage of look back, your rows are going to be like this. And I said last week, I think when I brought this up real quick, was like, and as I've gotten older, it's like I can't really afford a whole lot of time looking off to the right when I see something. Because for some dumb reason, I go to the right. And does anybody else do that? Like you're driving, you go. And I'm so glad they got those little ripples on the side. And all of a sudden you're going, I go, zoom, 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 zoom. And if my wife is not with me, if she's there, she's better than those little road ripples. But she's right there. Keep your eyes on the road. I am. But even driving and anything in life, if we focus on things left or right or behind especially, we are not going to maintain that straight that God wants us to go. See, we go through and we might talk, you know, we might say this is, oh, going around the mountain again, my third time around the mountain. It could be that, you know, as we have these rows and they're crooked and all, God's going to say, I'm going to put you into another field. Now, let's see if you can keep these rows straight, and let's see how long you can keep your hand to the plow or your hand on the steering wheel and just look straight ahead at what I got for you. Well, what about, no, don't look over there, Tim. What about, don't, whoop, whoop, up. No, Tim, just focus ahead. Well, who's going to take care of those things? I will. What about this and my kids? What about that? I will take care of your kids. Pray for them. Keep them prayed up. And Lord God, whatever, thank you. But we focus upon him. And for that, he will take care of these other things. Without wavering or dwelling on our past, looking back generally will hinder your progress, such as that of the farmer plowing that straight furrow. He has to focus ahead. It signifies a wholehearted dedication and perseverance, and actively serving God's kingdom, leaving behind the old ways, and seizing the moment for a purpose, and even a purpose that might be difficult. We know it's not easy serving God. There are difficulties, right, in serving God. Whatever it might be, things happen. But there will be difficulties. That's why when people receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, we need to let them know His Word does say that you are still going to have some trials and temptations, Tim. Well, what do you mean? I got you as my Lord and Savior. I just surrendered to you. I should have an easy-peasy life. No. But He will get me through those hard times. He will give me the strength. He will give me whatever is needed at the time that I need it. I believe that. Have there always been things that's worked out the way you thought, Tim? No! It hasn't. But does that retract what you feel of what you think of God? No! Because my God is my God. I might have had to go a little bit further than what I anticipated. And when I surrendered to that point of one time to say, well, Lord, I must have not heard you correctly. So, okay, let's go back to square one, whatever it is, Lord. And within a couple of weeks after that, what I had heard, I thought I heard, and it hadn't come about, so I began to say, okay, Lord, I surrendered back, and it must have just, I might have not heard it clear. It came about. So we all have our doubts. We all have wonderings. We all wonder if it was what I heard and was it this time and all of these things. But rather than just going off stomping and mad at God, take some time to sit there before Him in meditation and say, Lord God, 3 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months, whatever the case is, 3 weeks ago, I sensed this in my spirit as I was reading your word and your word spoke to me, and then the spirit just took this and sensed, Lord, I heard your voice. I heard it. But Lord, it hasn't happened, so it might be my error. You never throw the error on God because God never makes a mistake. And I got to look at it to say, okay, Lord, it must have been me. So correct me. Set my feet on the path where it needs to be. Show me, Lord, whatever it is. Please, please, Lord, I want to be with you. Serving Him is not easy. There are difficult times. But I had difficult times before I served God. And that's what I share with people too. You might as well come to Christ. You might as well come to God because, well, I'm going to still have trials and temptations. Yeah, but you're having them already. How are you faring with them? I'm a nervous wreck. I got anxiety. I got ulcers. I got this. I got that. Oh, whatever. It's like, well, okay, as a child of God, yes, I still have those things, but surrendering to God. And God, I can't handle it. God, they're yours. God, I don't want to eat a hole in my stomach. The God of this world is what he wants you to do that. The old devil wants you to worry. The devil wants you to have anxiety. The devil wants you to second guess yourself. The devil wants you to be mad at God because it didn't turn out the way you thought. And it wasn't God's thought, that it was your thought when you really got right down to it. I think I might have left a little bit of God out. I think I got a little bit of Tim in it. Natural. Why? I'm in the natural body. My mind, my thoughts, you know, clarity is not always there with me sometimes. As much as we all are trying to put on the mind of Christ, to think like Christ, because what Christ thought was what God thought into that of Christ. We have the mind of God. But it's easier here again. So much of God's word is easy to say, but it's true. Even though it sounds easy and cavalier, it's all true. God's word is what it is. Perseverance, we find. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. This is dealing with perseverance. In Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. 1 Chronicles, we even see this, 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Are you seeking him every day? Or are you a la carte seeking him? So as we look at this here, looking at that full commitment, it's a call to deep, active engagement, not a passive agreement. You got to have an active engagement with that of God. And it's deep. God wants you to go deeper and deeper with him. Remember sometime several years back now, we started this whole process, even on Thursday's Bible studies, but I was talking and sharing even with the congregation and John back then, and I kept always telling him that we got to get deeper with God. We got to mine the scriptures. And it's not to mine them to the point where it gets you confusing. We just have to kind of keep looking and developing these scriptures within us. And sometimes when you just get that scripture, it's not changing. God's word is not changing when you get that scripture, but you put it into your spirit. And what changes is as you are maturing in that of the Holy Spirit and that of hearing from God, you're able to understand it in a different revelation of things. It's not that his word has changed and it's not the same. His word is the same yesterday and today and forever. But it's just where are you at in that word? And how it begins to reveal itself in a different measure to you. And a lot of times God's word will adjust, I think, itself to the situation where you're at to help you with clarity of where you're at. Even though I read it this way, it helps me over here in my situation. You read it, and it helps you over here in this situation. And that's what God's word is. God's word is alive and vibrant, and it's working. But it's always the same word of God. So it calls for that deep, active engagement with him. About a focus in our vision. His vision needs to be my vision. It's like, what's the vision of the church, Tim? It's God's vision. It's whatever he wants. You know, what are we to do here, Lord? But it's to looking back will make you, again, plow those rows and furrows kind of crooked. We've got to be focused on the vision of that of God, upon the goal of the kingdom. We got to come out of the world and into his kingdom. Kingdom children upon this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Seizing the moment is about acting decisively. You've got to, you know, there it is. You got to act decisively and right then. Sometimes if you say, wait, let me go back, you're going to miss it. But you got to build up to these things by that of your time with him and prayer and meditation, seizing the moment with him. You got to let go of the past. You got to have perseverance, pushing through challenges that are there. We all have challenges. The fishermen had challenges. They didn't catch anything all night. Jesus says, I'd like to get in your boat, cast off a little bit so I can share with this multitude on the shore. Okay, I'm done with them now. Hey, go deep. Well, we were out there all night. Well, okay, what you say, Lord, I'll follow. That's all we need to do. Lord, I've tried. Well, wait. Okay, Lord, what you say, I'll do. Doesn't make sense at the point of time where I'm at, but I'm listening. And catch a ton of fish in one draw that would take 2 weeks to get. When God gets your attention and you get into that area with God, things will be abundant quickly. Things will develop and go more. You can't figure it out. Just like that axe head, throw a stick in there and the axe head floated back up. All these things we talked about this morning. Letting go of the old habits, old sins, worldly desires. You got to leave the past. We've talked already that perseverance, right? You got to continue to push. You got to keep going. The challenges are tough. sometimes when the plowing would begin in those seasons, especially when they're pulling it by a horse and a plow, I'm sure they probably in the off season, that farmer was resharpening the thing of his plow. Because as it goes through the dirt and hits the rocks over these seasons and times, it gets dull. So before he went back to the next field for the next season, he prepared himself so that his plow was sharp. That blade or whatever you call those things was ready to go. And when it dug into the ground, it just cut through that without tearing and ripping and all of that. Because he was prepared. So we have to be ready for the challenge. We got to prepare ourselves. We got to have our faith developed and growing to the point of what we are able and capable of doing. So as we reflect back on Luke 9:62, was it? It illustrates that as we follow Jesus, it requires very serious commitment on our part. Not a willy-nilly, if I want to, pick and choose. A serious commitment. We cannot divide our loyalty between what we want or what the world wants to what he wants. We can't return or want to go back or look at our past and where we had been, because that's all been forgotten. Amen. And so that's what it's about. We are a new creation. Old things have what? Passed away. All things become new. So you enter into a new life, a new chapter of your life, as you come into that of the realm of a child of God. So it's great to be renewed upon this earth. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, that we may be able to take a little bit of it, Lord, of this Luke 9:62 and other verses that we've been going through for the last month. And that, Lord, they will minister into our lives as we serve you. For, Lord, there is nothing more important in this life than to serve you. For you have great and mighty things for us. And, Lord, yes, you do take care of us. And you provide. Thank you, Father. Again, bless each one that is here today. Father God, we love you. Help us keep our focus. Let us always choose from your side and not that a la carte side, Lord. We want all of you, not bits and pieces. Strengthen us this day and the days ahead. Guide our paths. Minister, Lord, to our needs. Let us be a light and an example to those around us. Keep our families protected and safe and healthy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.